From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. The Justice Department is now confirming the Russian government will release four people accused of spying on Russia. That will be in exchange for 10 people who pleaded guilty today in a New York courtroom to being unregistered foreign agents for Russia while living in the U.S. Stephen Pfeiffer is a fellow at the Brookings Institution and an expert on Russia and national security. He says while such cloak-and-dagger intrigue brings up memories of the Cold War, it's never really gone away.
U.S.-Russian relations have developed in a positive way in the last 18 months. But I think both Washington and Moscow still take a lot of interest in what goes on in the other country. And I think there's understanding in Washington that this sort of thing still continues. So, you know, people were not surprised.
Among who was expected to be exchanged for the 10 who pleaded guilty in New York today, a Russian arms control analyst serving a 14-year sentence for spying on the U.S. Norway is the latest staging location for what is thought to have been a planned bomb attack by al-Qaeda operatives. Terry Schultz reports on arrests in Oslo and Germany, which authorities believe are linked to previous bomb plots in the U.S. and Britain.
Norwegian Prime Minister Jens Stoltenberg cut short his summer vacation to return to Oslo, where two Norwegian residents, one of Chinese Uyghur origin and one Iraqi Kurd, are in custody. An Uzbek man with Norwegian residency was arrested in Germany, and all Norwegian authorities say are believed to be tied to al-Qaeda. The men had been under surveillance for about a year. Police say they would not have wanted to make the arrests now, but felt they had to because of impending media reports about some parts of the case. It's not yet known whether Norway was the target of the planned attack. And for now, officials are keeping the country's threat level at low. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
Federal appeals court in New Orleans is denying the government's bid to keep in place a six-month moratorium on new deepwater drilling. The appeals court in its ruling says the Interior Department failed to show any likelihood that drilling would resume pending the appeal. Judge in Boston is ruling against the federal gay marriage ban. NPR's Kerry Johnson reports on that decision.
A judge rules the federal law denies benefits for gay couples and interferes with the ability of states to define marriage for themselves. The challenge came in two separate cases involving the Defense of Marriage Act. Congress passed the law in 1996, and the Justice Department defended the law in court, even though President Obama wants a repeal. Judge Joseph Toro rules the law forces Massachusetts to discriminate against its own citizens when it comes to health care and other benefits. The judge says the federal law also encroaches on states' rights in a violation of the 10th Amendment. Gay marriage has been legal in Massachusetts for nearly 6 years. The Justice Department is reviewing the decision and won't say whether it will appeal. Kerry Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
Jurors in the Los Angeles trial of a former Bay Area Rapid Transit officer charged with murdering an unarmed man in an Oakland subway station have reached a verdict. That verdict expected to be read at this hour. On Wall Street, the Dow was up 120 points. This is NPR. The company that owns the duck boat that caught fire and was then struck by a barge on the Delaware River in Philadelphia says the vessel has shown no signs of mechanical problems prior to the incident. President of Norcross, Georgia-based Ride the Ducks says it's hoped that they will be able to pull the sunken vessel from the bottom of the river. While 35 people on board the vessel were pulled to safety after the collision, two people remain unaccounted for. The company has suspended its duck boat tours nationwide following the accident while it investigates what happened. Heat wave continues in the east today in New York. The city's medical examiner is ruling the heat was the cause of a woman's death. Meanwhile, each year, more than two dozen children die in the U.S. when they are left in hot cars. NPR's Paul Brown spoke with a psychologist whose research provides clues as to why an adult can lose focus and forget a child.
Dan Simons teaches psychology at the University of Illinois. He says his research suggests people simply can't focus on everything they need to at once.
We have this impression that our child will always be at the forefront of our mind, that we notice if something were going wrong. And the reality is, if that's not what we're focusing our attention on, we often just don't see it.
Simons says people are very effective at paying attention to what's right in front of them, like that line at the cash register. But he says sometimes people may filter out information they don't want to. He says a Post-it note on a steering wheel, purse, or door handle could help some parents remember there's a kid in the car.
It seems like it's overkill at some level, but it's really not.
Just the same kind of visual cue you'd use to remind yourself of anything else. Paul Brown, NPR News.
Crude oil futures prices ended the session higher. The near-month contract for benchmark crude was up $1.37 a barrel to close at $75.44 a barrel in New York. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News in Washington.